Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast. And we continue today with this message of love and hope that has come to us in our day through Christ and His Holy Mother. This message is extended to all peoples regardless of race, color, or creed, as it is the objective of Our Lady to reach the world with this notice from on high before the hand of divine justice is placed down upon the world. Those who listen to the message from heaven will be spared the terrible trials that lie ahead. And not only will they be spared, but they will be guided most carefully in the path to their salvation. What people need today and what they are not getting is that spiritual happiness and peace of mind of knowing that they're doing the right thing, that consolation of the truth. Our Lady has come to supply for what is no longer being provided through the institutionalized channels of the Church, only because the clergy in our time have lost confidence in their own teachings. They have cast aside their sacred heritage for a new modernistic way. So Our Lady has come to rekindle our confidence again in the one true Church that her Son left the world. I have a quote here from the Mother of God as she spoke it on September 7, 1978. It reads, "You must stand forth as bearers of the light, carriers of the truth. You have been given by your baptism entrance into the only true religion upon earth, the Roman Catholic Church under my Son Jesus. Though man in his arrogance and pride has forgotten his role and his rule, you must carry it forward. Retain the faith and the truth in the hearts of mankind." Unquote. And that was from the message of the Blessed Virgin as she gave it to the world on September 7th, 1978. This message from heaven has come our way through the celebrated seer Veronica of the Cross. For a span of 25 years beginning in 1970, Our Lady and her Son would speak to Veronica and would impart to her many insights and prophecies concerning these latter days in which we are now living. And a little later in this broadcast, we're going to be speaking a little more about Veronica and how she was instrumental in transmitting these messages to the world. But suffice it to say for the moment, the Church hierarchy in our time is not maintaining the light of faith for its people because they've been taken with the false security in believing that the world is already reconciled to Christ because of His passion. But this is not true. Christ's sacrifice opened the door to reconciliation, but the rest is up to us. Unless we walk through that door, there is no reconciliation. I refer especially to the door of the confessional. They have misconstrued the words of St. Paul where he says, "For God indeed was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself." Meaning, of course, that He came to draw us out of the world and to draw us to Himself. He exhorts us to leave our bad habits and to leave the world in order that we may be reconciled to Him. In fact, St. Paul goes on to say in the next verse, I quote here, "For Christ, therefore, we are ambassadors. We beseech you, be reconciled to God." 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 and 20. So he is telling his listeners that they are not yet reconciled to Christ, and the priests of the Church are supposed to follow the lead of St. Paul, because they too are the ambassadors of Christ who are commissioned to draw souls or to fish souls out of the world so that they can be reconciled to Christ. Because sadly, a lot of Catholics today are not abiding in a state of grace because of their lifestyle, and they need to be pulled out of their situation through firm and authoritative preaching. But now the Church leaders go about today pacifying their listeners with false promises and half-truths, saying things like, "The long reign of sin has ended, and Christ is among us as our reconciliation." In other words, they tell you what you want to hear just to pacify you and gain your popularity, but they're not telling you what is good for your soul. The gospel today simply is not being preached from the pulpits of the world. After all, when's the last time you heard a sermon that the Church has a duty to the Mother of God to obey her message of Fatima and say the rosary each day? When's the last time you heard a priest say that women are not to wear shorts or tights and that they are to cover their heads in the church? When's the last time you heard a sermon on hell or purgatory and that most Catholics today are going to wind up there because of the poor leadership in the church? When's the last time you heard a priest say that we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we have to make amends and do penance, and that we have to honor the commandments in order to gain God's friendship and grace? You are not going to get that kind of doctrine today, fulfilling the prophecy of St. Paul where he said, "There shall be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine." 2 Timothy 4:3. Indeed, the Church today is not enduring the hard gospel of Jesus Christ. It's now peace and security as we come together to celebrate our reconciliation with one another. They even refer to the Mass today as a celebration, as if it was some sort of communal festivity. The reformers of today love the word reconciliation because it's all part of this modernist theme of trying to reconcile the secular world with Christ. But the two cannot be reconciled. The agenda of the world and the agenda of Christ are irreconcilable. They cannot be woven or stitched together into one fabric. This caters to a selfish motive of trying to have your cake and eat it too. But Christ says you can't have the cake of this earth and then feed on the bread of angels at the same time. As St. Paul says, you cannot be partakers of the table of the Lord and of the table of devils. 1 Corinthians 10:21. There is a bumper sticker used by some of the pro-life people that makes the point rather nicely, which says, you cannot be pro-choice and be Catholic at the same time. Likewise, we cannot be modernist and be Catholic at the same time, because being Catholic by definition is just that, the faithful adherence to tradition, as it has been passed on by the popes for 2,000 years, and you cannot adhere to tradition and then flow with the world at the same time. And if you try to change the tradition just to suit the world, then you have heresy. And this is what we're looking at today. The change of Vatican II has caused God's people to err in these last days, whereby they have lost their reconciliation with Christ. Granted, the Church has undergone momentary changes of the past, but these changes are what we call heresies, because they are not part of the Church's ongoing tradition. And even though these heresies are promoted in the name of the Church, they always have their origins outside the Church. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the breeding grounds for these heresies. And they've been around for a long time, right from the beginning. For instance, there was the Arian heresy of the 4th century, or the Albigensian heresy of the 13th century, or there was the Protestant Reformation of the 15th century. These are all heresies that battled the Church of Christ. But today we have the worst heresy of all time, and that is the heresy of modernism, which dwarfs the previous heresies of the past. The heresies of the past were more spotty and localized. We might say that the mystical body had a few cancer tumors here and there, but today the whole body of the Church is saturated with cancer, and it's the cancer of modernism. In a word, modernism is a heresy that states that the Church is an evolutionary process. In other words, the Church changes in order to keep up with the times. Naturally, there isn't a trace of truth to this, which is why it's called heresy. The Church is the rock of Peter, that invincible rock of truth that does not change, because it has, as its founder, our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. I'm quoting from James 1:17. Though the storms and winds of the world will blow in every which direction, the Church has nothing to do with them. It is ever constant and unchanging. The only change that must ever take place is that we have to leave the world and our bad habits one by one and move closer to Christ on the cross. As Our Lady has said, God never changes, and neither must you change to please man, but you must change always to please God. That's Our Lady speaking June 18, 1982. Now, the advocates of change are crafty, in that they will often use the Church's traditional teachings to try to substantiate their point. For instance, they will argue that the disciplinary measures that the Church enacts are subject to change, and the answer is yes, but no. Yes, the Church can enact certain changes or modifications in its procedures according to the need, but they must be consistent with what has already been established through tradition. They must build on tradition. And in fact, the very purpose of these disciplinary measures is to preserve the Church's doctrine and tradition. That is their sole purpose. As such, these measures must become even more disciplined and stringent with time, since the Church encounters new and greater attacks with the passing years. Take, for instance, the Church's liturgy. By the end of the 6th century, after the faith had spread far and wide, there was some diversity or disunity in Church practice. So Pope Gregory the Great decided to unify the Church under one universal liturgy, and that's when he codified the Mass into Latin. The purpose of the liturgy was to enhance Christ and to raise him up in clear focus before the public eye so that the Church could better honor him as a unit. And indeed, this was the work of the Holy Ghost, a spiritual milestone. But even so, there was still room for improvement, since this was the first step towards the ultimate liturgical perfection. And as the church encountered rougher seas 900 years later with the Reformation, there was a need again to tighten up on the liturgy. So the church convened the Council of Trent in 1545, which lasted for 18 years. And one of the major objectives of the council was to perfect the Latin liturgy. So they took the same basic liturgy of Pope Gregory and made some revisions, and then restated once and for all what the church liturgy was to be. With the Council of Trent, the church perfected what it had begun 1,000 years earlier and brought to an absolute completion the liturgical format for Catholic worship. And I'm talking, of course, of the Latin Tridentine Mass. And in fact, as Pope later declared, this was to be the last revision ever made on the liturgy. The only change that could be made from that point was to enact further measures to preserve the old liturgy. And this is essentially what Pope Leo XIII did when he ordered the exorcism prayer to St. Michael said at the foot of the altar after all the Sunday Masses. For he saw what was coming upon the church, meaning modernism, and therefore he was attempting to set up a dam, as it were, in order to hold back the coming tide of evil. Unfortunately, the traditional prayer to St. Michael was removed from the Sunday Mass worship in 1965, and of course the rest is history. Serves us right. The flood of heresy and change has since taken its toll upon the church. Pope Paul VI would even lament the state of the church on October 13, 1977, when he stated, "The darkness of Satan has entered and spread throughout the Catholic Church, even to its summit." The Blessed Virgin would put the matter in clear perspective on September 27, 1975, when she said, "These changes that have given bad fruits have not been given to you through the Holy Spirit and through your vicar, Pope Paul VI. It is the web of Satan reaching out." Indeed, 35 years of change have certainly shown themselves for what they are. It's high time that the church start taking the master again in his word and letting down their nets the traditional way. And this is essentially what Jesus and Mary are telling us in the message. They said, "You have been given a firm foundation of faith." There's no need to lose confidence in the church's tradition. There's no need to lose confidence in the guidance of the Holy Ghost for 2,000 years. So Our Lady and Our Lord exhort us to return to tradition, to return back to the foundation of the faith, to return to the traditional teachings, because according to the message, the teachings today are no good, because these teachings are modern invention. They are not Catholic. They are not part of the Church's ongoing tradition. You are listening to the St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you the urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world. If you would like to receive more information in the mail on this, you can write to us. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or call toll-free 1-800-345-MARY. We are going to listen now to a segment of the message from heaven as it was given to the world by Our Lady on July 25th, 1975. These messages and revelations from heaven have come to us through the rosary vigils that are held in Flushing Meadows Park, New York. During the vigils, Veronica the seer would be present. She would see Our Lady, she would see Our Lord, and other personages from heaven. At the direction of heaven, she would be instructed to repeat the message from heaven. Now what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is the Blessed Virgin speaking through her.
"In the past years of your Earth's time, I have begged for the conversion of Russia. My words have been taken lightly then, as they are now by many. You must pray for the conversion of Russia, for she will send her errors throughout the world. Your country has set itself onto the road to destruction, for they, your leaders, have not taken action against the murderers set loose in your society. The murders of the young, the innocent unborn, have not gone by uncounted by the Eternal Father. Measure for measure shall you be given the reward of your..." Oh, I see. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. I see that. I know it's a comet. It has. It's a round ball of fire, and it's traveling at a very fast pace through the sky. And it's so hot. I can feel the heat, the great heat of this long tail as it's going through space. It's shooting out a tremendous fiery tail. Oh. I repeat, my child, your country shall not escape the destruction of the fires, as you will be planet struck. As in the days of Noah, my child, many shall reject the message from heaven. We do not send you a message of fear, but a message of fact. Repent, make atonement now, while you have the time, for the hour of reckoning is coming. It is at hand, my child.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
For the love of money and power of short duration, many have sold their souls to get to the head. Saint Michael must be returned to the houses of God, for he is the guardian of the faith. The word of the Eternal Father, your God, is everlasting. He knows no beginning and no end. Therefore, you shall not change the words of God to suit mankind and their basic carnal nature. You must change man to bring him under the rule set forth by his God. The Eternal Father, my children, has given you a simple lesson of life. The commandments must be followed, for shall you break one, you break them all.
You are listening to St. Michael's broadcast, and we've been listening to the message of the Blessed Virgin as she gave it to her servant Veronica on July 25th, 1975. And you heard it for yourself. The man has to return to the rule of the Eternal Father, the commandments. Otherwise, there will be divine action taken soon. On June 18, 1991, Our Lady made reference to a celestial fireball that was being observed by scientists. She said, "It is in your atmosphere. It has been noticed by few, but the few seek not to bring fear to the hearts of mankind." Our Lady was referring to the ball of redemption, a fiery comet spoken of in the message, which is hurtling fast towards the earth. And that's Our Lady speaking June 18, 1988. This certainly is a time to look up and keep our eye now on the heavens. As Jesus says in the Gospel, pray and keep watch. With the holidays upon us once again, it's a time to reflect on the many gifts we've received from the good Lord on high. And indeed, we've been given a great gift with this mission of His Mother. She has been given to the world in these latter days to counsel us and guide us, and to bring us these beautiful tidings from the kingdom. What greater return of love can we make to Our Lady than to assist her in her mission to reach the world? Your financial assistance is one way you can help do this. Every dollar received goes to the most worthy cause of all, the salvation of souls. There are many today who aspire to save their brothers and sisters, but Our Lady is the one who knows how to do this because she is the mother of the Savior. All we need to do is bring her message to the people, and she does all the rest, but that takes monetary assistance. We are doing our part at St. Michael's World Apostolate to publish and disseminate this soul-saving message, but we depend on the faithful to finance this operation. Our machines are running and ready to race, but we need the fuel to run this apostolate, and that fuel is your tax-deductible dollars. The good book says that if you so much as give a cup of cool water to a disciple, you will not lose your reward. And with your financial gift, you are giving more than a cup of water. You are providing the members of the Lay Order of St. Michael with all the basic necessities of life and the means to carry out their mission to reach the public. Whatever you can send is most appreciated, whether it be $10, $50, $100, $1,000, or even just a widow's mite. Send it on today, and with every gift of $20 or more, you'll receive a free 100% wool brown scapular bearing the image of St. Padre Pio. And if you're going to give to the mission, you might as well hit two birds with one buckshot and choose from our selection of religious gifts. By shopping online at our secure store, you are providing yourself or somebody you love with items of grace which cannot be assessed in dollars and cents, and yet our prices make a lot of sense. For instance, our full-size brown scapular made of 100% pure wool goes for only $4.95. Our smaller athletic scapular goes for only $2.95. Or you can get a beautiful handmade rosary made in Italy. This is custom wood carving now, no plastic, goes for only $9.95. So indeed, this is a good way to put your dollars and your good sense to use. Giving religious gifts helps to keep Christ in Christmas and shows that you've given it some serious thought. For more on our religious gift selection, log on to smwa.org, or upon writing, we can send you a printout of our gifts catalog. If you wish to order by telephone using your credit card, simply call 1-888-830-SMWA. That's 888-830-SMWA, and please be advised that that number is for credit card orders only. And of course, we invite your letters. You can send them to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. We return now to the recorded segment of Veronica receiving the message from heaven from Our Lady on July 25th, 1975.
We hear, my children, cries of love throughout your world. But is there the true meaning of love being exercised? Or is it just a word that mankind uses in his seeking, his searching for the truth, but never finding it, my children? Oh, yes, my children, only love can be given by the Eternal Father the true meaning. My Son gave you a perfect example of his love. In his time of suffering, many also rejected him, my child, and many now have forgotten his suffering. Now Our Lady is going up high into the sky, and St. Joachim and Anne are following her. And now Our Lady is pointing with her rosary in her hand over to the right side of the sky. And there are a group of nuns. I can see the nuns by their habits. They have on the long habits. And Our Lady now is going over with St. Joachim and Anne. You must, my child, hasten to gather your sisters. They must be strengthened in their faith. They must not succumb to the errors that abound now in the houses of God throughout the world, in the seminaries and the convents, my child.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy
Spirit. The Antichrist forces of the agents from hell are out now in great numbers, invading our convents and seminaries, my child. You must hasten to reach your pastors with the message. Now it's growing quite dark. I can't see the nuns. Oh, but now one of the nuns is raising her hand. Oh, it's Saint Teresa. I recognize her now. Oh.
The ascension of our Lord into heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Veronica. There's great discord in the convents. You must encourage them by prayer. Tell my sisters not to fall into the errors of the world. They must not join the world for they will be lost to us here in heaven. They must place the garments of holiness upon themselves, gritting their habits to the floor. All signs of worldliness must be removed from their persons. For when they join the world, they will no longer be brides of the Christ.
You are listening to St. Michael's broadcast, and we've been listening to the message of the Blessed Virgin as she delivered it to the world through Veronica on July 25, 1975. Again, we would invite you to write in for the free information. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can visit our website at www.smwa.org. There is no cost to receive the information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air. So if you'd like to see the program continue each week over the station, then send along your financial gift offerings made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you, your donation is tax deductible. The mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again, www.smwa.org. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join with us next week as we continue with this urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces and abundance.